fellow saw which made me think a man a worm. My son came then into my mind, and yet my mind was then scarce friends with him. I have heard more since. As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods. They kill us for their sport.
How should this be? Bad is the trade that must play fool to sorrow, angering itself and others. Bless thee, master!
Is that the naked fellow?
Aye, my lord.
Then prithee, get thee gone. If for my sake thou wilt o'ertake us hence a mile or twain i' the way toward Dover, do it for ancient love, and bring some covering for this naked soul which I'll entreat to lead me.
Alack, sir, he is mad.
'Tis the time's plague when madmen lead the blind. Do as I bid thee, or rather do thy pleasure. Above the rest, begone.
I'll bring him the best apparel that I have. Come on, what will?
Sirrah, naked fellow.
Poor Tom's are cold. I cannot dope it further.
Come hither, fellow.
And yet I must. Bless thy sweet eyes, they bleed.
Knowest thou the way to Dover?
Both stile and gate, horseway and footpath. Poor Tom hath been scared out of his good wits. Bless thee, goodman's son, from the foul fiend. Five fiends have been in poor Tom at once. Of lust as Obidicat, Abididin's prince of dumbness, Mahu of stealing, Modo of murder, Flibbidi-Gibbet of mopping and mowing, who since possesses chambermaids and waiting women. So bless thee, master.
Here, take this purse, thou whom the heaven's plagues have humbled to all strokes. That I am wretched makes thee the happier. Heaven's deal so still. Let the superfluous and lust-dieted man that slaves your ordinance, that will not see because he does not feel your power quickly, so distribution should undo excess and each man have enough. Dost thou know Dover?
Aye, master.
There is a cliff whose high and bending head looks fearfully in the confined deep. Bring me but to the very brim of it, and I'll repair the misery thou dost bear with something rich about me. From that place I shall no leading need.
Give me thy arm. Poor Tom shall lead thee.
Welcome, Edmund. I marvel our mild husband not met us on the way. Now, where's your master?
Madam, within. But never man so changed. I told him of the army that was landed. He smiled at it. I told him you were coming. His answer was the worse. Of Gloucester's treachery and of the loyal service of his son. When I informed him, then he called me sot and told me I had turned the wrong side out. What most he should dislike seems pleasant to him. What like, offensive.
Then shall you go no further. Oh, it is the cowish terror of his spirit that dares not undertake. He'll not feel wrongs which tie him to an answer. Our wishes on the way may prove effects. Back, Edmund, to my brother. Hasten his musters and conduct his powers. I must change names at home and give the distaff into my husband's hands. This trusty servant shall pass between us. Ere long you are like to hear, if you dare venture in your own behalf, a mistress's command. Wear this. Spare speech. Decline your head. This kiss, if it durst speak, would stretch thy spirits up into the air. Conceive, and fare thee well.
Yours in the ranks of death.
My most dear Gloucester. Oh. Oh, the difference of man and man. To thee a woman's service is a due. A fool usurps my body.
Madam, here comes my lord.
I have been worth the whistle.
Oh, Goneril, you are not worth the dust which the rude wind blows in your face. Oh. I fear your disposition. That nature which contemns its origin cannot be bordered certain in itself. She that herself will sliver and disbranch from her material sap, perforce must wither and come to deadly use.
No more, the text is foolish.
Wisdom and goodness to the vile seem vile. Filths savor but themselves. What have you done? Tigers, not daughters, what have you performed? A father and a gracious, aged man, whose reverence even the head-lugged bear would lick, most barbarous, most degenerate, have you madded? Could my good brother suffer you to do it? A man, a prince, by him so benefited? If that the heavens do not their visible spirits send quickly down to tame these vile offences, it will come. Humanity must perforce prey on itself like monsters of the deep.
Milk-livered man, that bear'st a cheek for blows, a head for wrongs, who hast not in thy brows an eye discerning thine honour from thy suffering, that not knowest fools do those villains pity who are punished ere they have done their mischief. Where's thy drum? France spreads his banners in our noiseless land. With plumed helm thy state begins to threat, whilst thou, a moral fool, sits still and cries, alack, why does he so?
See thyself, devil! Proper deformity seems not in a fiend so horrid as in woman.
Oh, vain fool!
Thou changed and self-covered thing, for shame, bemonster not thy feature! Were it my fitness to let these hands obey my blood, they are apt enough to dislocate and tear thy flesh and bones. Howe'er thou art a fiend, a woman's shape doth shield thee.
Marry your manhood, meow.
What news? Oh, my good lord. The Duke of Cornwall's dead, slain by his servant, going to put out the other eye of Gloucester.
Gloucester's eyes?
A servant that he bred, thrilled with remorse, opposed against the act, bending his sword to his great master, who, thereat enraged, flew on him, and amongst them felled him dead, but not without that harmful stroke which since hath plucked him after.
This shows you what above, you justices, that these our nether crimes so speedily can venge. But, oh, poor Gloucester, lost he his other eye?
Both. Both, my lord. This letter, madam, craves a speedy answer. Tis from your sister.
One way I like this well. But being widow and my Gloucester with her, may all the building and my fancy pluck upon my hateful life. Another way the news is not so tart. I'll read and answer.
Where was his son when they did take his eyes?
Come with my lady hither.
He is not here?
No, my good lord, I met him back again.
Knows he the wickedness?
Aye, my good lord. 'Twas he informed against him, and quit the house on purpose, that their punishment might have the freer course.
Gloucester, I live to thank thee for the love thou showedst the king, and to revenge thine eyes. Come hither, friend. Tell me what more thou knowest.
Why the King of France is so suddenly gone back, know you no reason?
Something he left imperfect in the state, which since his coming forth is thought of, which imports to the kingdom so much fear and danger that his personal return was most required and necessary.
Who had he left behind him, General?
The Marshal of France, Monsieur Lafare.
Did your letters pierce the Queen to any demonstration of grief?
Aye, sir. She took them, read them in my presence, and now and then an ample tear trilled down her delicate cheek. It seemed she was a queen over her passion, who, most rebel-like, sought to be king o'er her.
Oh, then it moved her.
Not to a rage. Patience and sorrow strove who should express her goodliest. You've seen sunshine and rain at once. Her smiles and tears were like a better way. Those happy smilets that played on her ripe lips seemed not to know what guests were in her eyes, which parted thence as pearls from diamonds dropped. In brief, sorrow would be a rarity most beloved if all could so become it.
Made she no verbal question?
Faith, once or twice she heaved the name of father pantingly forth, as if it pressed her heart, cried, sisters, sisters, shame of ladies, sisters, Kent, father, sisters, what, i' the storm, i' the night, let pity not be believed. There she shook the holy water from her heavenly eyes, and clamour moistened. Then away she started to deal with grief alone.
It is the stars. The stars above us govern our conditions, else one self-mate and mate could not beget such different issues. You spoke not with her since?
No.
Was this before the king returned?
No, since.
Well, sir, the poor distressed Lear is of the town, who sometime in his better tune remembers what we are come about, and by no means will yield to see his daughter.
Why, good sir?
The sovereign shame so elbows him. His own unkindness that stripped her from his benediction, turned her to foreign casualties, gave her dear rights to his dog-hearted daughters, these things sting his mind so venomously that burning shame detains him from Cordelia.
Alack, poor gentleman.
Of Albany's and Cornwall's powers, you heard not.
'Tis so. They are afoot.
Well, sir, I'll bring you to our master Lear and leave you to attend him. Some dear cause will in concealment wrap me up a while. When I am known aright, you shall not grieve lending me this acquaintance. I pray you, go along with me.
Alack, 'tis he. Why, he was met even now, as mad as the vexed sea, singing aloud, crowned with rank fumiter and furrow weeds, with hardocks, hemlock, nettles, cuckoo flowers, darnel, and all the idle weeds that grow in our sustaining corn. A century send forth. Search every acre in the high-grown field and bring him to our eye. What can man's wisdom in the restoring his bereaved sense? He that helps him, take all my outward worth.
There is means, madam. Our foster nurse of nature is repose, the which he lacks. That to provoke in him are many simples operative, whose power will close the eye of anguish.
All blessed secrets, all you unpublished virtues of the earth, spring with my tears. Be aidant and remediate in the good man's distress. Seek for him, lest his ungoverned rage dissolve the life that wants the means to lead it.
News, madam. The British powers are marching hitherward.
'Tis known before. Our preparation stands in expectation of them. Oh, dear father, it is thy business that I go about. Therefore, great France, my mourning and importune tears hath pitied. No blown ambition doth our arms incite, but love, dear love, and our aged father's right. Soon may I hear and see him.
But are my brother's powers set forth?
Aye, madam.
Himself in person there?
Madam, with much ado. Your sister is the better soldier.
Lord Edmund spake not with your lord at home?
No, madam.
What might import my sister's letter to him?
I know not, lady.
Faith, he is posted hence on serious matter. It was great ignorance, Gloucester's eyes being out, to let him live. Where he arrives, he moves all hearts against us. Edmund, I think, is gone in pity of his misery to dispatch his knighted life. Moreover, to descry the strength of the enemy.
I must needs after him, madam, with my letter.
Our troops set forth tomorrow. Stay with us. The ways are dangerous.
I may not, madam. My lady charged my duty in this business.
Why should she write to Edmund? Might not you transport her purposes by word? Belike, some things, I know not what. I'll love thee much. Let me unseal the letter.
Madam, I had rather...
I know your lady does not love her husband, I am sure of that. And at her late being here, she gave strange oyads and most speaking looks to noble Edmund. I know you are of her bosom.
Aye, madam.
I speak in understanding. You are. I know it. Therefore, I do advise you, take this note. My lord is dead. Edmund and I have talked, and more convenient is he for my hand than for your lady's. You may gather more. If you do find him, pray you give him this. And when your mistress hears thus much from you, I pray desire her call her wisdom to her. So, fare you well. If you do chance to hear of that blind traitor, preferment falls on him that cuts him off.
Would I could meet him, madam. I should show what party I do follow.
Fare thee well.
When shall I come to the top of that same hill?
Oh, you do climb up it now. Look how we labour.
Methinks the ground is even.
It's horrible steep. Hark. Do you hear the sea?
No, truly.
Why then, your other senses grow imperfect by your eyes' anguish.
So may it be indeed. Methinks thy voice is altered and thou speaks in better phrase and matter than thou didst.
You are much deceived. In nothing am I changed but in my garments.
Methinks ye are better spoken.
Come on, sir, here's the place. Stand still. How fearful and dizzy 'tis to cast one's eyes so low. The crows and choughs that wing the midway air show scarce so gross as beetles. Halfway down hangs one that gathers samphire, dreadful trade. Methinks he seems no bigger than his head. The fishermen that walk upon the beach appear like mice. And yon tall, anchoring bark diminished to her cock a boy, almost too small for sight. The murmuring surge that on the unnumbered, idle pebble chafes cannot be heard so high. Oh, I'll look no more. Lest my brain turn and the deficient sight topple down headlong.
Set me where you stand.
Give me your hand. You are now within a foot of the extreme verge. For all beneath the moon would I not leap upright.
Let go my hand. Here, friend, is another purse. In it a jewel, well worth a poor man's taking. Fairies and gods prosper it with thee. Go thou further off. Bid me farewell, and let me hear thee going.
Now fare ye well, good sir.
With all my heart.
Why I do trifle thus with his despair is done to cure it.
Oh, you mighty gods. This world I do renounce, and in your sights shake patiently my great affliction off. If I could bear it longer and not fall to quarrel with your great opposeless wills, my snuff and loathed part of nature should burn itself out. If Edgar live, oh, bless him. Now, fellow, fare thee well.
Go on, sir, farewell.
And yet I know not how conceit may rob the treasury of life when life itself yields to the theft. Had he been where he thought, by this had thought been passed. Alive or dead?
Oh, you, sir? Friend? Hear you, sir, speak?
Thus might he pass indeed. Yet he revives.
What are you, sir?
Away, and let me die.
Hadst thou been aught but gossamer, feathers, air, so many fathom down, precipitating, thou'st shivered like an egg, but thou dost breathe. Hast heavy substance, bleed'st not, speak'st, art sound. 10 masts at each make not the altitude which thou hast perpendicularly fell. Thy life's a miracle, speak yet again.
But have I fallen or no?
From the dread summit of this chalky bourne, look, up a height, the shrill-gorged lark so far cannot be seen or heard. Do but look up.
Alack, I have no eyes. Is wretchedness deprived that benefit to end itself by death? 'Twas yet some comfort when misery could beguile the tyrant's rage and frustrate his proud will.
Give me your arm. Up. So, how is't? Feel you your legs? You stand.
Too well, too well.
This is above all strangeness. Upon the crown of the cliff, what thing was that which parted from you?
Poor unfortunate beggar.
As I stood here below, methought his eyes were two full moons. He had 1,000 noses. Horns whelked and waved like the enrigid sea. It was some fiend. Therefore, thou happy father, think that the clearest gods, who make them honours of men's impossibilities, have preserved thee.
I do remember now. Henceforth I'll bear affliction till it do cry out itself, enough, enough, and die. That thing you speak of, I took it for a man. Often 'twould say, the fiend, he led me to that place.
Bear free and patient thoughts. But who comes here? The safer sense will ne'er accommodate his master thus.
No! They cannot touch me, for coining I am the king himself.
Oh, thou side-piercing sight.
Nature's above art in that respect. There's your press money. That fellow handles his bow like a crow-keeper. Draw me a clothier's yard. Look, a mouse. This piece of toasted cheese will do it. There's my gauntlet. I'll prove it on a giant. Bring up the brown bills. Oh, well flown, bird. In a clout, in a clout. Give the word.
Sweet marjoram.
Pass.
I know that voice.
Goneril, with a white beard. They flattered me like a dog and told me I had the white hairs in my beard ere the black ones were there, to say aye and no to everything that I said. Aye and no, too, was no good divinity. When the rain came to wet me once, and the wind to make me chatter, when the thunder would not peace at my bidding, there I found 'em, there I smelt 'em out. Go to, they are not men of their words. They told me I was everything. 'Tis a lie. I am not ague-proof.
The trick of that voice I do well remember. Is't not the king?
Aye, every inch a king. When I do stare, see how the subject quakes. I pardon that man's life. What was thy cause? Adultery? Oh, thou shalt not die. Die for adultery? No. The wren goes to it, and the small gilded fly does lecher in my sight. Let copulation thrive, for Gloucester's bastard son was kinder to his father than my daughters got tween the lawful sheets. To it, luxury pell-mell, for I lack soldiers. Behold, yon simpering dame, whose face between her forks presages snow, that minces virtue and a shake the head to hear of pleasure's name. The fichu, nor the soiled horse, goes to it with a more riotous appetite. Down from the waist they are centaurs, though women all above. But to the girdle do the gods inherit. Beneath is all the fiends. There's hell, there's darkness, there is the sulphurous pit, burning, scalding, stench, consumption, fie, fie, fie. Pah! Pah! Give me an ounce of civet, good apothecary. Sweeten my imagination. There's money for thee.
Oh, let me kiss that hand.
Ooh, let me wipe it first. It smells of mortality.
Oh, ruined piece of nature, this great world shall so wear out to naught.
Dost thou know me?
I remember thine eyes well enough. Dost thou squiddy at me? No, do thy worst, blind Cupid. I'll not love. Read thou this challenge, mock but the pinning of it.
Were all thy letters sons, I could not see.
I would not take this from report. It is, and my heart breaks at it.
Read.
What? With the case of eyes.
Oh, are you there with me? No eyes in your head, nor no money in your purse. Your eyes are in a heavy case, your purse in a light. Yet you see how this world goes?
I see it, feelingly.
What, art mad? A man may see how this world goes with no eyes. Look with thine ears. See how yon justice rails upon yon simple thief.
Hark in thine ear. Change places and handy dandy. Which is the justice? Which is the thief? Thou seen a farmer's dog bark at a beggar?
Aye, sir.
And the creature run from the cur?
There thou mightest behold the great image of authority. A dog's obeyed in office. Thou rascal beadle, hold thy bloody hand. Why dost thou lash that whore? Strip thy own back. Thou hotly lusts to use her in that kind for which thou whipst her. The usurer hangs the cozener. Through tattered clothes small vices do appear. Robes and furred gowns hide all. Plates in with gold and the strong lance of justice hurtless breaks. Arm it in rags. A pygmy's straw does pierce it. None does offend. None. I say none. I'll able them. Take that of me, my friend, who have the power to seal the accuser's lips. Get thee glass eyes, and like a scurvy politician, seem to see the things thou dost not. Oh. No, 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 no. Pull off my boots. Oh, harder! Harder! So.
Oh, matter and impertinency mixed. Reason in madness.
If thou wilt weep my fortunes, take my eyes. I know thee well enough. Thy name is Gloucester. Thou must be patient. We came crying hither. Thou know'st the first time that we smell the air, we wall and cry. I will preach to thee, mark.
Alack in the day.
When we are born, we cry that we are come to this great stage of fools. This is a good block. It were a delicate stratagem to shoe a troop of horse with felt. I'll put it in proof. And when I have stolen upon these son-in-laws, then kill, 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 kill.
Oh, here he is. Lay hand upon him. Sir, your most dear daughter.
No rescue! What, a prisoner? I am even the natural fool of fortune. Use me well. You shall have ransom. Let me have surgeons. I'm cut to the brains.
You shall have anything.
No seconds, all myself. Why, this would make a man of salt, to use his eyes for garden water pots, aye, and laying autumn's dust. I will die bravely like a smug bridegroom. What? I will be jovial. Come, come, I am a king. Masters, know you that?
You are a royal one, and we obey you.
Then there's life in't. Come, and you get it, you shall get it by running. Sa, 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 sa! Sa, 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 sa! Sa, 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 sa!
A sight most pitiful in the meanest wretch, past speaking of in a king. Thou hast one daughter who redeems nature from the general curse which twain have brought her to.
Hail, gentle sir.
Sir, speed you, what's your will?
Do you hear aught, sir, of a battle toward?
Most sure, and vulgar.
Everyone hears that which can distinguish sound.
But by your favor, how near is the other army?
Near and on speedy foot. The main descry stands on the Arlithort.
I thank you, sir, that's all.
Though that the Queen on special cause is here, her army is moved on.
I thank you, sir.
You ever gentle gods, take my breath from me. Let not my worser spirit tempt me again to die before you please.
Well, pray you, father.
Now, good sir, what are you?
A most poor man, made tame to fortune's blows, who by the art of known and feeling sorrows am pregnant to good pity. Give me your hand. I'll lead you to some biding.
Hearty thanks. The bounty and the benison of heaven to boot and boot.
A proclaimed prize. Most happy. That eyeless head of thine was first framed flesh to raise my fortunes. Thou old, unhappy traitor. Briefly thyself remember. The sword is out that must destroy thee.
Now let thy friendly hand put strength enough to it.
No. Wherefore, bold peasant, darest thou support a published traitor? Hence, lest that the infection of his fortune take like hold on thee. Let go his arm.
Not let go, sir, without further occasion.
Let go, slave, or thou diest.
For gentlemen, go your gate and let poor folk pass. And should have been swaggered out of my life, 'twould not have been so long as 'tis by a fortnight. Nay, come not near the old man. Keep out, chivore ye. Or I try whether your costard or my ballow be the harder. Shall be plain with you.
Out, Jang Hill!
To pick your teeth, sir. Come, no matter for your voice.
Thou hast slain me. Villain, take my purse. If ever thou wilt thrive, bury my body and give the letters which thou find'st about me to Edmund, Earl of Gloucester. Seek him out upon the English party. Oh, untimely death! Death!
I know thee well, a serviceable villain, as duteous to the vices of thy mistress as badness would desire.
What? Is he dead?
Sit you down, father, rest you. Let's see, these pockets, the letters that he speaks of, maybe my friends. He's dead. I'm only sorry he had no other deathment. Let us see. Leave gentle waxen manners. Blame us not to know our enemies' minds. We rip their hearts. Their papers is more lawful. Let our reciprocal vows be remembered. You have many opportunities to cut him off. If your will want not, time and place will be fruitfully offered. There is nothing done if he return the conqueror. Then am I the prisoner, and his bed my jail. From the loathed warmth whereof deliver me, and supply the place for your labor. Your wife, so I would say, affectionate servant, Goneril. Oh, indistinguished space of woman's will! A plot upon her virtuous husband's life. And the exchange, my brother. Here in the sands, thee I'll rake up, the post unsanctified of murderous lechers. And in the mature time, with this ungracious paper, strike the sight of the death-practiced duke. For him 'tis well that of thy death and business I can tell.
The king is mad. How stiff is my vile sense that I stand up and have ingenious feeling of my huge sorrows. Better I were distract. So should my thoughts be severed from my griefs and woes by wrong imaginations lose the knowledge of themselves.
Give me your hand. Far off, methinks, I hear the beaten drum. Come, father. I'll bestow you with a friend.
Thou good Kent, how shall I live and work to match thy goodness? My life will be too short, and every measure fail me.
To be acknowledged, madam, is o'er paid. All my reports go with the modest truth, nor more nor clipped, but so.
Be better suited. These weeds are memories of those worser hours. I prithee, put them off.
Pardon, dear madam, yet to be known shortens my made intent. My boon I make it that you know me not, till time and I think meet.
Then be it so, my good lord. How does the king?
Madam, sleep still.
Oh, you kind gods, cure this great breach in his abused nature. The untuned and jarring senses, oh, wind up of this child-changed father.
So please your majesty that we may wake the king. He hath slept long.
Be governed by your knowledge and proceed in this way of your own will. Is he arrayed?
Aye, madam. In the heaviness of sleep we put fresh garments on him.
Be by, good madam, when we do awake him. I doubt not of his temperance.
Very well.
Please you, draw near. Louder the music there.
Oh, my dear father. Restoration, hang thy medicine on my lips, and let this kiss repair those violent harms that my two sisters have in thy reverence made.
Kind and dear princess.
Had you not been there, father, these white flakes did challenge pity of them. Was this a face to be opposed against the jarring winds? To stand against the deep, dread-bolted thunder in the most terrible and nimble stroke of quick cross lightning. To watch poor Perdue with this thin helm. Mine enemy's dog, though he had bit me, should have stood that night against my fire. And wast thou fain, poor father, to hovel thee with swine and rogues forlorn in short and musty straw? Alack, alack! 'Tis wonder that thy life and wits at once had not concluded all. He wakes. Speak to him.
Madam, do you, 'tis fittest.
How does my royal lord? How fares your majesty?
You do me wrong. To take me out of the grave, thou art a soul in bliss. But I am bound upon a wheel of fire that mine own tears do scald like molten lead.
Sir, do you know me?
You are a spirit, I know. Where did you die?
Still, still, far wide.
He's scarce awake. Let him alone a while.
Where have I been? Where am I? Fair daylight. I am mightily abused. I should e'en die with pity to see another thus. I know not what to say. I will not swear these are my hands. Let's see. Oh, I feel this pinprick. Would I were assured of my condition.
Oh, look upon me, sir, and hold your hand in benediction o'er me. No, you must not kneel.
Pray do not mock me. I am a very foolish, fond old man. 80 and upward, not an hour more nor less. And to deal plainly, I fear I am not in my perfect mind. Methinks I should know you, and know this man. Yet I am doubtful, for I am mainly ignorant what place this is, and all the skill I have remembers not these garments, nor I know not where I did lodge last night. Do not laugh at me, for as I am a man, I think this lady to be my child Cordelia.
And so I am. I am.
Oh. Be your tears wet? Yes. Faith, I pray, weep not. If you have poison for me, I will drink it. I know you do not love me, for your sisters have, as I do, remember, done me wrong. You have some cause. They have not.
No cause, no cause.
Am I in France?
In your own kingdom, sir.
Do not abuse me.
Be comforted, good madam. The great rage you see is killed in him. And yet it is danger to make him evener the time he has lost. Desire him to go in. Trouble him no more till further settling.
Will it please your highness walk?
You must bear with me. Pray you now forget and forgive. I am old and foolish.
Holds it true, sir, that the Duke of Cornwall was so slain?
Most certain, sir.
Who is conductor of his people?
As 'tis said, the bastard son of Gloucester.
They say Edgar, his banished son, is with the Earl of Kent in Germany.
Report is changeable. 'Tis time to look about. The powers of the kingdom approach apace.
The arbitrament is like to be bloody. Fare you well, sir.
My point and period will be throughly wrought, or well or ill, as this day's battle's fought.
Know of the Duke if his last purpose hold, or whether since he is advised by aught to change the course. He's full of alteration and self-reproving, bring his constant pleasure.
Our sister's man is certainly miscarried.
'Tis to be doubted, madam.
Now, sweet lord, you know the goodness I intend upon you. Tell me but truly, but then speak the truth. Do you not love my sister?
In honoured love.
But have you never found my brother's way to the forfended place?
That thought abuses you.
I am doubtful that you have been conjunct and bosomed with her. As far as we call hers.
No, by mine honour, madam.
I never shall endure her. Dear my lord, be not familiar with her.
Fear me not. She and the Duke, her husband.
I had rather lose the battle than that sister should loosen him and me.
Our very loving sister, well be met. Sir, this I heard. The king is come to his daughter with others whom the rigor of our state forced to cry out. Where I could not be honest, I never yet was valiant. For this business, it touches us as France invades our land, not bolds the king with others whom I fear most just and heavy causes make oppose.
Sir, you speak nobly.
Why is this reason?
Combined together against the enemy, for these domestic and particular broils are not the question here.
Let's then determine with the Ancient of War on our proceeding.
I shall attend you presently at your tent.
Sister, you'll go with us?
No.
'Tis most convenient. Pray, go with us.
Oho, I know the riddle. I will go.
If your grace had speech with man so poor, hear me one word.
Our lord take you. Speak.
Before you fight the battle, ope this letter. If you have victory, let the trumpet sound for him that brought it. Wretched though I seem, I can produce a champion that will prove what is avouched there. If you miscarry, your business of the world hath so an end, and machination ceases. Fortune love you.
Stay till I have read the letter.
I was forbid it. When time shall serve, let but the herald cry, and I'll appear again.
Why, fare thee well. I will o'erlook thy paper.
The enemy's in view. Draw up your powers. Here is a guess of their true strength and forces by diligent discovery, but your haste is now urged on you.
We will greet the time.
To both these sisters have I sworn, my love. Each jealous of the other as the stung are of the adder. Which of them shall I take? Both, one, or neither? Neither can be enjoyed if both remain alive. To take the widow exasperates, makes mad her sister Goneril, and hardly shall I carry out my side, her husband being alive. Now then, we'll use his countenance for the battle, which being done, let her who would be rid of him devise his speedy taking off. As for the mercy which he intends to Lear and to Cordelia, the battle done, and they within our power, shall never see his pardon. For my state stands on me to defend, not to debate.
Here, Father, take the shadow of this tree for your good host. Pray that the right may thrive. If ever I return to you again, I'll bring you comfort.
Grace, go with you, sir.
Away, old man! Give me thy hand, away! King Lear hath lost, he and his daughter, Tain. Give me thy hand, come on!
No further, sir. A man may rot even here.
What, in ill thoughts again? Men must endure their going hence, even as they're coming hither. Ripeness is all. Come on!
And that's true, too.
Some officers.
Take them away.
Good God, until their greater pleasures first be known that are to censure them.
We are not the first who, with best meaning, have incurred the worst. For thee, oppressed king, I am cast down. Myself could else outfrown false fortune's frown. Shall we not see these daughters and these sisters?
No. Come, let's away to prison. We two alone will sing like birds of the cage. When thou dost ask me blessing, I'll kneel down and ask of thee forgiveness. So we'll live and pray and sing and tell old tales and laugh at gilded butterflies and hear poor rogues talk of court news. And we'll talk with them too, who loses and who wins, who's in, who's out. And take upon us the mystery of things, as if we were God's spies. And we'll wear out in a walled prison packs and sects of great ones that ebb and flow by the moon.
Take them away.
Upon such sacrifices, my Cordelia, the gods themselves throw incense. Oh, have I caught thee? He that parts us shall bring a brand from heaven and fire us hence like foxes. Wipe thine eyes. The good years shall devour them flesh and fell ere they shall make us weep. We'll see them starved first. Come.
Come hither, Captain. Hark. Take thou this note. Go follow them to prison. One step I have advanced thee. If thou dost as this instructs thee, thou dost make thy way to noble fortunes. Know thou this, that men are as the time is. To be tender-minded does not become a sword. Thy great employment will not bear question. Either say thou'll do it or thrive by other means.
I'll do it, my lord.
About it, and right happy when thou hast done. Mark, I say, instantly, and carry it so as I have set it down.
I cannot draw a cart nor eat dried oats. If it be man's work, I'll do it.
Sir, you have showed today your valiant strain, and fortune led you well. You have the captives who are the opposites of this day's strife. I do require them of you, so to use them as we shall find their merits and our safety may equally determine.
Sir, I thought it fit to send the old and miserable king to some retention and appointed guard, whose age had charms in it, whose title more, to pluck the common bosom on his side and turn our impressed lances in our eyes which do command them. With him I sent the queen, my reason all the same, and they are ready tomorrow or at further space to appear where you shall hold your session. At this time we sweat and bleed. The friend hath lost his friend, and the best quarrels in the heat are cursed by those that feel their sharpness. The question of Cordelia and her father requires a fitter place.
Sir, by your patience, I hold you but a subject of this war, not as a brother.
That's as we list to grace him. Methinks our pleasure might have been demanded ere you had spoke so far. He led our powers, bore the commission of my place and person, the which immediacy may well stand up and call itself your brother.
Not so hot. In his own grace, he doth exalt himself more than in your addition.
In my rights, by me invested, he compeers the best.
That were the most if he should husband you.
Jesters do oft prove prophets.
Hola, hola. That eye that told you so looked but a squint.
No! Lady, I am not well, else I should answer.
from a full, flowing stomach. General, take thou my soldiers, prisoners, patrimony. Dispose of them, of me. The walls is thine. Witness the world that I create thee here, my lord and master.
Mean you to enjoy him?
The let alone lies not in your goodwill.
Nor in fine, lord.
Half-blooded fellow, yes.
Let the drum strike and prove my title thine.
Stay yet. Hear reason. Edmund, I arrest thee on capital treason, and in thy attaint, this gilded serpent. For your claim, fair sister, I bar it in the interest of my wife. 'Tis she is subcontracted to this lord, and I, her husband, contradict your banes. If you will marry, make your loves to me. My lady is bespoke.
An interlude.
Thou art armed, Gloucester. Let the trumpet sound. If none appear to prove upon thy person thy heinous, manifest, and many treasons, there is my pledge. I'll make it on thy heart ere I taste bread. Thou art in nothing less than I have here proclaimed thee.
Sick? Oh, sick!
If not, I'll ne'er trust medicine.
There's my exchange. What in the world he is that names me traitor, villain like he lies. Call by the trumpet. He that dares approach on him, on you, who not, I will maintain my truth and honor firmly.
A herald, ho!
A herald, ho! A herald!
Trust to thy single virtue, for thy soldiers, all levied in my name, have in my name took their discharge.
My sickness grows upon me.
She is not well. Convey her to my tent. Come hither, herald. Let the trumpet sound and read out this.
Sound trumpet! If any man of quality or degree within the lists of the army will maintain upon Edmund, supposed Earl of Gloucester, that he is a manifold traitor, let him appear by the third sound of the trumpet. He is bold in his defense.
Sound!
Again! Again!
Ask him his purposes. Why he appears upon this call of the trumpet.
What are you? Your name, your quality, and why you answer this present summons?
No, my name is lost. By treason's tooth, bear none and canker bit. Yet am I noble as the adversary I come to cope.
Which is that adversary?
What's he that speaks for Edmund, Earl of Gloucester?
Himself. What sayst thou to him?
Draw thy sword, that if my speech offend a noble heart, thy arm may do thee justice. Here is mine. Behold, it is my privilege, the privilege of mine honours, my oath and my profession. I protest, maugre thy strength, place, youth, and eminence. Despite thy victor sword and fire new fortune, thy valour and thy heart, thou art a traitor. False to thy gods, thy brother, and thy father. Conspiring against this high, illustrious prince, and from the extremest upward of thy head to the descent and dust below thy foot, a most toad-spotted traitor. Say thou no, this sword, this arm, and my best spirits are bent to prove upon thy heart whereto I speak. Thou liest!
In wisdom I should ask thy name. But since thy outside looks so fair and warlike, and that thy tongue some say of breeding breathes, what safe and nicely I might well delay by rule of knighthood, I disdain and spurn. Back do I toss these treasons to thy head, whether hell-hated lie or whelm my heart, which, for they yet glance by and scarcely bruise, this sword of mine shall give them instant way where they shall rest for ever.
Trumpets, speak!
Save him! Save him!
This is Pratt practice, Gloucester. By the law of war, thou wast not bound to answer an unknown opposite. Oh, thou art not vanquished, but cozened and beguiled.
Shut your mouth, dame, or with this paper shall I stop it. Hold, sir. Thou worse than any name. Read thine own evil. No tearing, lady. I perceive you know it.
Say if I do. The laws are mine, not thine. Who can arraign me for
it? Most monstrous. Oh, knowest thou this paper?
Ask me not what I know.
Go after her. She's desperate. Govern her.
What you have charged me with, that have I done, and more, much more. The time will bring it out. 'Tis past, and so am I. But what art thou that hast this fortune on thee? If thou art noble, I do forgive thee.
Let's exchange charity. I am no less in blood than thou art, Edmund. If more, the more thou hast wronged me. My name is Edgar, and thy father's son. The gods are just, and of our pleasant vices make instruments to plague us. The dark and vicious place where thee he got cost him his eyes.
Thou spoken right. 'Tis true. The wheel has come full circle. I am here.
Methought thy very gait did prophesy a royal nobleness. I must embrace thee. Let sorrow split my heart if ever I did hate thee or thy father.
Worthy prince, I knight.
Where have you hid yourself? How have you known the miseries of your father?
By nursing them, my lord. List a brief tale, and when 'tis told, oh, that my heart would burst. The bloody proclamation to escape that followed me so near, oh, our lives' sweetness, that we the pain of death would hourly die rather than die at once, taught me to shift into a madman's rags, to assume a semblance that very dogs disdained, and in this habit met I my father with his bleeding rings, their precious stones new lost. Became his guide, led him, begged for him, saved him from despair. Never, our fault, revealed myself unto him, until some half hour passed, when I was armed. Not sure, though hoping of this good success, I asked his blessing, and from first to last, told him our pilgrimage. But his flawed heart, alack, too weak the conflict to support. 'Twixt two extremes of passion, joy and grief, burst smilingly.
This speech of yours hath moved me, and shall perchance do good. But speak you on, you look as you had something more to say.
If there be more woeful, hold it in, for I am almost ready to dissolve, hearing of this.
This would have seemed a period to such as love not sorrow, but another, to amplify too much, would make much more and top extremity. Whilst I was big in clamour, came therein a man, who, having seen me in my worst estate, shunned my abhorred society, but then, finding who 'twas that so endured, with his strong arms he fastened on my neck, and bellowed out as he'd burst heaven, threw him on my father, told the most piteous tale of Lear and him that ever ear received, which in recounting his grief grew puissant, and the strings of life began to crack. Twice then the trumpet sounded, and there I left him tranced.
But who was this?
Kent, sir. The banished Kent, who in disguise followed his enemy king and did him service improper for a slave.
Help! Help! Oh, help!
What kind of help?
Speak, man!
What means this bloody knife?
'Tis hot. It smokes. It came even from the heart of... She's dead.
Who dead? Speak, man.
Your lady, sir. Your lady and her sister by her is poisoned. She confesses it.
I was contracted to them both. All three now marry in an instant.
Here comes Kent.
Produce the bodies, be they alive or dead. The judgment of the heavens that makes us tremble touches us not with pity. Oh, is this he? The time will not allow the compliment which very manners urges.
I am come to bid my king and master aye good night. Is he not here?
Great thing of us forgot. Speak, Edmund. Where's the king? And where's Cordelia? Seest thou this object, Kent?
Why thus?
Yet Edmund was beloved. The one the other poisoned for my sake, and after slew herself.
Even so. Cover their faces.
I pant for life. Some good I mean to do, despite of mine own nature. Quickly send. Be brief in it to the castle, for my writ is on the life of Lear and on Cordelia. Nay, send in time.
Run! Run, no, run!
To whom, my lord? Who has the office? Send thy token of reprieve.
Well thought on. Take my sword. Give it the captain.
Haste thee for thy life.